Joining us now, you know him, you love him. He's obviously a tremendous football analyst and has a diabolical laugh as well. It's Frank Dolce, kind enough to join us. Frank, how are you?
Hi, Frank.
I don't know where I do not have a diabolical laugh.
Lloyd?
It's humorous. It's infectious. I mean, those are some words I would use, but not diabolical.
No, it sounds like you've got laser beams on sharks' heads. Like, it's very dark and evil.
You know what? And here's the other thing is, you just said that you were going out to the Sandy Amphitheater with some friends and your lovely wife, but I don't see that on my calendar. I'm checking right now.
Yes. So does that mean, say, Scotty, if you can't find me next week, if I'm missing for more than 2 days,
you're in the West Desert somewhere.
You know what's happening right now.
Yep, that's right.
Hey, Frank, are you excited for pre and post? You know Scotty's hosting it, and you and I we're just along for the ride with Scotty tomorrow.
How is that even happening?
Well, if you don't want it to happen, I'll just stay home. That's all right.
It's an important event. His game's tonight.
Are we? By the way, that was a great win for the Aggies last week. I mean, I don't think Washington State's great, but that was a great win up on the road, first game out. Don't you think?
Let's see. Considering how they looked last year, and also considering they had not won at a P5 road game since 1971.
And they played how many transfers?
And they played 15 transfers that they had to work in. So,
they haven't named a starting quarterback?
Still?
Still?
Do we need to do that?
I think there'll be some clarity after tonight. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I thought that was a great win, and I could hear the excitement in your voice. Kevin is so steady that I don't know if he is excitable or not. Would you call him excitable?
He's very excitable. Yes.
I was being sarcastic. Yeah, that, exactly. Yes, that is appropriate right there.
Hey, Frank, let's start with this. The big news, BYU to the Big 12. How excited are you for that?
I couldn't be more excited. In all honesty, and you always do this to me. You're like, I can't tell if Frank's being sincere or not. In all sincerity, I think that's the best thing that could have happened to BYU, especially the football program, to be invited into that conference, to have a conference affiliation. I know what it's meant for Utah, and I think it's going to mean something similar to the Cougars. So for Kalani, and by the way, I'm a huge fan of Tom Holmo and some of those guys. Not really Robbie Bosco. I mean, Bosco I'd put a little lower on the list, maybe a lot lower on the list, but there's a lot of guys up there that I like. And so for that program, I think it's super meaningful.
So when you showed up on campus, did you realize pretty quickly as a player that this BYU game was a little different? Did you know anything about it when you signed to play at Utah? And how long did it take for you to realize this game matters?
Yeah, it's immediate. It was immediate because Utah was on the wrong end of that streak when I went up to the University of Utah. They kept talking about some miraculous 57-20 something victory in the late 90s or maybe in the early or late 80s, excuse me, in the late 80s, maybe, or yeah, late 80s, I believe. And that was all the talk, you know, is that they won this game. So we knew early on that this was the game that you kind of circled on the calendar. And to credit Urban Meyer and especially Coach Whittingham, they kind of kept that, like they kept that rivalry alive. And so even in the midst of this streak that is in favor of Utah, that is a game that you circle on the calendar, and it's still meaningful. So for me, when I stepped off the plane, it was immediate, and I think that kind of continues for Utah football.
Frank, I was thinking about everything that is building into this crazy rivalry game crescendo. We talked about this yesterday possibly being Kyle Whittingham's last rivalry game based off the fact that we won't see it again until 2024. And maybe things change then because BYU's in the Big 12 in 2023. So we don't know what the schedule will look like, but it's going to be at least 2024. So maybe no Kyle. The Big 12 announcement, BYU coming off a big season last season. They've got all kinds of momentum. The nine-game streak that will be carried on for who knows how long. Is this as big a game as we've seen in the rivalry game in some time, or does it not match some of those that had conference implications?
I think it's hard to get around that. And is the conference what's at stake in the conference that used to be the big deal at the end of the year? So that's hard to overcome, that kind of excitement. The rivalry excitement is still clear. And there are things about this game that I think make it very interesting. The fact that there's not going to be a game for a couple of years. Who knows what will happen with Coach Whittingham over the next couple of years. The announcement of the Big 12 and the fact that I think this is a very, in terms of the matchup, this is a much more competitive matchup than we've seen. Both teams coming off first game wins, but with lots of question marks coming into this game. So I think it makes for a really compelling matchup, maybe the most compelling matchup. And I know we build it up every year that we've seen in the last few years, but with conference titles on the line, with bowl game invites on the line, this one probably doesn't match up to some of the earlier versions.
So with that, you're expecting a hell of a game tomorrow then?
I think it's going to be a great game. Yeah, I expect a very competitive game. I think, you know, in all honesty, I think it's going to be one of those classic 7-point victories for 7 points or less for one of the teams. Turnovers likely to – I mean, turnovers always seem to be something in this game, as they are in every football game, but even more magnified in this football game. You have a defensive unit with Utah that I didn't think was as dominant as they should have been against Weber State. I think that's a little bit of a concern. You have an offensive line where everything happens up front. You come out of that game against Weber State for Utah and you think, well, I know they were missing a couple guys, but shouldn't they be able to push that team around a little bit? I don't think they necessarily accomplished that. I do like the quarterback. I thought the quarterback play for Utah was excellent. So that's and running back play was excellent. I think those are two very positive things coming into this one for the Utes. I like Hall at quarterback. I mean, there's a guy that's super athletic, very accurate with the football. Seems like he's, you know, cool, calm, and collected under pressure. I think Utah's going to have to figure out a way to just stop Algier. And then to say that Utah has to make BYU one-dimensional, I mean, I don't know if you want to make BYU one-dimensional, because then you say, well, you know, leave it at the hands of the quarterback, young quarterback. Well, he looks like he's super talented. So, yeah, I think this makes for a really compelling matchup.
Well, I'm going to build on this a little bit. You just mentioned Utah's quarterback situation, and Frank, I finally had a chance to go back and do film review on the Utah-Weber State game, and I know you watched it and you did a fantastic job. You hit so many great points in the post game. As I went back, I was like, yep, Frank's right. Because you see it in lifetime. It takes me about 11 times reviewing it. But
we know that's not true.
Oh, it's true. Frank, he is the real deal. I am impressed. And I think the most impressive point, and something we learned against Weber State that I wasn't sure we would, because I didn't think they'd let leaks, he's good at drop-off points and pressure, blitz recognition, and read and react off recognition. He's awesome. He reads quick. He drops quick. So talk about that. Talk about how that can change a game, the way a defense can game plan against a quarterback that can read and react like that.
You know, it's so interesting because I think it's a great point. Mechanically, I think that Brewer is as good as we've seen at Utah for a long time. I mean, a long, long time mechanically. And just the way he sets his feet, the way his feet move in the pocket, the way he gets his shoulders prepared to throw the ball downfield, and then his release is very, very good. So mechanically, he is as sound as anyone we've seen it in recent history. I'm probably going back to like the Alex Smith, Ryan Johnson kind of mechanically sound sort of day. So that's saying something. And then his timing, the ability to release the ball. I think you made a good point when we were talking about it last week. As an offensive lineman, if you have a quarterback who gets rid of the football on time, that just makes your life so much easier up front. We've been watching quarterbacks at Utah who don't have the timing down. And then all of a sudden they're sitting in the pocket too long. They're scrambling around. The offensive linemen are hung out to dry in many cases. It just makes everything, makes life difficult for everybody. And now you have a guy in Brewer who, at least in one game, showed the ability to get rid of the ball on time and on target. I think that's enormous for this offensive unit.
Hey, to your point, quick, Frank, Weber State ended up with one sack. If that would have been Travis Wilson back there, Weber State would have had five.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. How could you corral the baby giraffe? That guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You could definitely get to those legs.
Hey, do you anticipate Tavian Thomas is going to be the guy getting majority of carries going forward?
I would think so, but I know the coaching staff is high on Mekhi Bernard, and I think they should be. Like, he's a solid foundation kind of back. Get you 3-4 yards of carry, be very steady with the football, do all the right things, make the right plays. Pass protection is really good. So I know they're high on Bernard, but Thomas is the more explosive of the back. So I would suspect that's what we're going to see, is kind of leaning in that direction in game two. I'm not sure they're going to go to him full time, but leaning in that direction against BYU.
Frank Dolce joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, as Utah gets set to take on BYU. This is interesting, Frank, because they didn't play last year. They're not going to play for two more years. Given the Big 12 thing with BYU and Utah going forward with what they're dealing with, they might take a little bit of a break here, even more than 2 years. Does that put a little – at bare minimum, it's going to be one game in 4 years between these two teams. Does that put a little bit more emphasis on this one, knowing that if Utah can make it 10 in a row, they can sit on that 10-game streak for a while?
Yeah, I think the bragging rights in this one, that's an interesting thing. Just to hold on to whoever had the last victory in this series, in this particular streak of games. So I think that is a storyline that shouldn't go without notice, and both sides will utilize that going forward. So I like that storyline. I've talked about that storyline. And believe me, I know that that coaching staffs are utilizing that as extra motivation. If you need any extra motivation going into this one, I don't know. I mean, for me, going into this game, it was just like it was enough to know that it was the rivalry, and then you just, you know, your chin strap is a little tighter, and you know, you're a little more focused for this one. I don't know if it was the same for you, Hans, but. Mm-hmm. But just the rivalry game without any of the other stuff is enough to increase your focus and determination in this one.
Do you think it impacts – I know you work a lot with high school players and on the calls, and you see these high school athletes, and they're so moved by different aspects, the color schemes and the uniforms and all that. But if you've got, let's say, 34 recruits that are – on the sidelines watching this game tonight, or in the second, third row of seats watching this game tonight, with the Big 12 announcement and all that stuff, how much does a win or loss play in for either team and recruits? Does that move anybody, Frank?
Yeah, I think it does move. There are certainly guys who will be sitting on the fence about whether or not to go Utah or BYU, and a win or loss in this game could move that player off the fence. There's a bunch of kids who are ingrained in either program. And so a win or loss in this game doesn't mean anything. Like a loss in this game might mean, oh, well, I'm still going to the team that lost, and we're going to show those guys when I get a chance. I mean, that kind of a motivation. So, but there are certainly guys on the fence that this game is meaningful. I think more meaningful, though, to be honest, is the Big 12. Guys on the fence about going to BYU and now the announcement with the Big 12, I think that moves the needle more than a win or loss in the rivalry game.
Hmm. Well, Frank, we'll talk tomorrow. Excited to hang out with you guys on the pregame show.
You're darn right we're talking tomorrow. Lloyd, by the way, did Lloyd had a big, I'll let him tell you off air, we had a very strange exchange when he called me today. I don't know how, what to think about it or how to manage it appropriately. We can, but maybe get his thoughts on it. And as is typically the case.
Is there, I mean, does HR need to be involved? Is it that bad?
Almost, but not quite.
Probably, but maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe. Yes. And then, as is typical, Lloyd didn't tell me where I'm supposed to be or what time tomorrow. So, you know, I'm kind of just.
Well, you're on the schedule, Frank. I don't know what to tell you.
Lloyd, flying by the seat of my pants.
Check your email, pal.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I can't think of any two people I'd rather be hanging out with at a burger joint talking BYU Utah than my boy Scotty and my boy Frank. We're going to have a blast tomorrow, man.
We're going to do it right down there at JCW's.
That's the truth for me as well, except apparently you could think of lots more people you'd rather hang out with at a concert tonight. So I guess we have that.
That's
talk about
maybe
it as well.
True. I was only given 55 tickets. I had to choose my 55 closest.
I got to call that Utah State game tonight, Frank, or I would have been there and I would have invited you. So just know that.
Thank you. Well, you know, Scotty, that pin that you made me, I typically keep it under glass. I use it only for the most special of signatures and occasions.
I need to get you another one. I actually wasn't real pleased with how that
Stop
turned out.
Stop rubbing that pin he made you in my face, Frank. I'm better
so
friends
nice.
With Scotty. He's my better friend.
So nicely, and I know that it was made with love, and that's the most meaningful part about it.
Johnny Lightfoot's got like 12 of them.
Well, Johnny buys like these blanks, and so I get a. It's kind of fun practice for me. I got another one. I got to bust out for him. Anyway, that's beside the point. Frank, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.
You guys, I love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
You got it.
See
you, Frank Dolce, one of the best dudes on the planet. Just ask him.
Don't do that. He is one of the best dudes.